Now tell me, when was Jesus born?
You know it was
last month of the year.
Oh, tell me,
when was Jesus born?
You know it was
last month of the year.
Oh, tell me,
when was Jesus born?
You know it was the last month of the year.
Oh, was it
January?
No.
February?
No.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November was the 25th day of the December was the last month of the year.
Oh, when was Jesus born?
You know it was the last month of the year.
Oh, when was Jesus born? Last month of the year.
Tell me,
when was Jesus born?
It was the last month of the year.
Was it January?
No.
February?
No.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November was the 25th day of the December was the last month of the year.
He was born of a virgin,
and he was
wrapped in swaddling clothes,
and he was
lying in a manger.
Was it
January?
No.
February?
No.
March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November was the 25th day of the December was the last month of the year.
Oh, he was
born of a virgin,
he was
wrapped in swaddling clothes,
and he was
lying in a manger.
Was it
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November was the 25th day of the December was the last month of the year.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for our for the trio of the Community Baptist Church of Walbrook. They haven't got a complete official name yet, but they're working on it, I think. We praise the Lord. Those are our deacons. And I must not forget our deaconess. Our deaconess. But there's our deacons and our deaconess. Don't want to forget our deaconess. Our deaconess. And our deaconess has been working already. Amen. So we praise God for them and thank God for thank the Lord for the choirs and the musicians and thank the Lord for you all being here today to worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're still worshiping and praising. And I just gave away the true spirit of Christmas, didn't I? Worship. I picked this Sunday to actually look at those who were surrounded, who surrounded the manger and was around the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. I picked this Sunday because even though it's after Christmas, we're going to see that the worship still goes on. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you again for your mercy and your grace through Christ Jesus. We thank you that truly, Lord, is you that truly have made us and not we ourselves. If you who have saved us, none of us, but all of you, Lord, and thank you for that great salvation. We're remembering the book of Hebrews as we think about that truly faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to bless us to have that faith in you. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us understand, Lord, that we must study your word to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen and need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For in 2 Timothy 2:15, even though the Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, was writing to Timothy, I believe that's for all of us to understand that we need to study your word. We pray in this upcoming year, Lord, as you would let us live, Lord, as we would live, Lord, that we would have even a brand new commitment to the study of your word, and not only to study to be hearers, but to be doers of your word, that we would allow it to permeate and to truly saturate our hearts, that truly, as they said of disciples, they had noted that they had been with Jesus. Thank you again, Lord, for this opportunity to once again celebrate your resurrection, for that's what each Sunday represents, a celebration of your resurrection, for you got up on the first day after dying for our sins on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, and may all the glory be to you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As you turn to the book of Luke, we've been studying already. We saw some prophecies, hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah and what the Messiah would be like when he come and what the Messiah would do. And we studied five of the Old Testament. We studied about his miraculous birth. We studied about the Messiah's family tree. We studied about many things in the Old Testament prophet. We studied about his place of birth, his move to Egypt, his being a Nazarene. We studied all that. And all this was coming from the Old Testament. And that was only five, but there are hundreds of prophecies that point to none other than Jesus Christ. We must not begin this without first looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Begin at verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, begin at verse 6. And it's familiar, you're familiar with this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's eternity. Upon the throne of David, he's the king, and upon his kingdom, he will set up his kingdom. We have studied the book of Revelation. 1,000-year reign of Jesus is the setting up of the kingdom. To order it and to establish it with judgment. And he will come back in judgment. John 5 says that the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. With justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's only God. It's God who does it all. He does it every bit of what we've seen. He is sovereign. It's already been prayed, already been said that he is a sovereign God. It's been prayed that he is. We must remember that he is, you heard Deacon Smith, he is in control. We have no control. When we see the world seem like spinning out of control, and even in the midst of Christendom, I mean churches, in the midst of our churches, when we see it going out of control, we know that he is still in control, for he is our sovereign God. As we've seen also last week, I believe we looked at John chapter 1. We've been seeing that we've saw in John chapter 1 without even getting to this point in Luke about the manger and Mary and Elizabeth and all those who surrounded the manger scene. We've seen in John's gospel that the Christmas story was right there. It was right there. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is none other than our God who has come to save us from our sins in the person of Jesus Christ. For in that verse, that first verse of John 1, we see that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word we know is Jesus, because in John 1:14 it says, and the Word was made flesh, and what? Dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Then that pick you the mind to John 3:16 when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son. So we know in John 1:14, he's talking about Jesus, okay? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Here's a distinction there. The Word was with God. So the Word was distinct from God, being the Son, God the Son, but yet he was God. Do you see that last part of verse 1 of chapter 1 of John? yet the Word was God. He was face to face with God. It's a mystery. It's a faith walk. It's by faith we take these things. As I said before, we take gravity by faith, don't we? We don't know the particulars of gravity. We don't know how it works. But nobody's going to jump off. Let me get it right. I said last week, I said a little height. And somebody might try that. Nobody going to jump off the entire Empire State Building. Climb to the top of the entire Empire State Building and jump off. Because why? Because you know that gravity is real. Okay? We have to understand that we must take our God by faith. He has given that faith to us when he breathed into us the breath of life. Remember when God, in Genesis chapter 3, when he breathed into man, chapter 1, 2, when he breathed into man the breath of life, Genesis 2? He not only breathed into us what they call physical life, but he breathed into us Zoe, real life. And that's the life to have faith. Now, where will we direct that faith? Will that faith be directed to something or someone else? Or will that faith be directed to the one who given it to us? And he has given us all opportunity to have faith in him and know who he is. So we've seen that the one who we were singing about in the manger, the one who the world was celebrating in the manger, the baby in the manger, was none other than God in the manger. And that's what we can say. People might say, oh, you can't say he's God. And yes, we can, because we've seen all the scriptures, and we know that the scriptures are true. For those who might tell us that man wrote scriptures, man could not have written these scriptures. There are too many what they call paradox there. When I say paradox, seemingly contradictions, but no contradictions are there. It's just that we, with finite minds or little minds or minds that can't understand the mind of God, we can't understand it. But God explains it to us. As we come to Jesus Christ, we begin to understand the whole story. For in the Old Testament, we see the unfolding of the redemption plan all through the Old Testament. Have you not been seeing it as we've been going through the Old Testament? And we will resume the Old Testament going through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in the coming year, Lord's willing. Okay. But haven't you seen the redemption plan being unfolded for us in the Old Testament? You can't see that without having the Spirit of God in our hearts showing us the things that he wants to reveal unto us. So what we need to see today is that the reason why we need to continue and help people understand, even some of our brothers and sisters, and some of us need to remind each other that we need to worship and continue praising God, because this is what went on during that birthday of the Lord when he was born in Bethlehem. So, what is the reaction to the birth of Christ? We've seen quite different reactions in the world, haven't you? The world says the reaction that we should have is to be thankful. That's a good reaction, right? I mean, it's good. That's a good spirit to have. Be thankful. The world says that, some of them say that the spirit of Christmas is, I don't know about y'all, we give out thousands of cards. Some say the spirit of Christmas is just eating all the food that you can get in your mouth. Why y'all looking at me like that? Some say the spirit of Christmas is all we've heard different things. Some of the years as the Lord let us live, check out, ask people what do they believe that the reaction of Christmas should be, or the spirit of Christmas. What is the true spirit of Christmas? You get all kinds of answers. Scrooge, you know, said the spirit of Christmas was a ghost. Three ghosts, matter of fact, came to him. But all those things I've named. Oh, here's the biggest one. A lot of people say the spirit of Christmas is giving. And don't that really overtakes us during this time of the year? Boy, it really overtakes us. We overdraw our checkbooks, our credit cards, and spend money that we don't even have sometimes, right? Giving! It's the spirit of giving. All those are good things. Oh, well, we can't forget about the liquor industry. Say the spirit is in a bottle. Heard a minister say that. You know, and millions are spent. But we need to see what the scripture said, the Bible said, what's the true spirit of Christmas. What is the reaction for those who are around the time of the birth of Christ. What are those reactions? You know, there were some people who missed Christmas even during that time. How about the innkeeper? There was no room for him in the inn. Wow. Isn't that a profound statement there? And sometimes we pass over that, but it says there was no room in the inn. The innkeeper had to have said, no, I can't help a almost ready to have a baby mother. I can't have, you know. He missed it. How about Herod? Herod, told the wise men he wanted to worship. We saw this, didn't we? Told the wise men, tell me where he's going to be, because I want to worship him. He missed it because he didn't want to worship him. And we know he didn't want to worship him, because after the wise men didn't return to him, he had all the babies killed from, what, two and under? Yes. They missed it. All of Jerusalem missed Christmas. They should have all, in the whole of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, around that area, should have recognized what? That the Savior was born. But there were some people who didn't miss this, and their heart was in tune with the Word of God. I can say that, with the Word of God. And the first person we want to look at is Elizabeth. Who was Elizabeth? Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And when you look at verse 39, look at her reaction as she realized that Christ is born. See, we get, you know what, even as believers sometimes, we go through the whole Christmas season without understanding that we should be worshiping and praising God for what he has done. We forget about that sometimes. But Elizabeth in chapter 1, verse 39, listen to what Elizabeth. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Remember, Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. Okay, they were cousins, okay? And it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth, listen to this, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, salutation is a greeting, when Mary said, how you doing? I don't know how they did the greeting, but they said, how you doing? You know how we greet one another, and we said, how you doing today? How have things been? Listen what happened to the baby in her womb. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and listen to the things that she said. Some of the things, we don't say these things sometime at Christmas, but listen to what she says. And she spake out with a loud voice. This is praise. And said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Listen to this. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She recognized by the Spirit of God who Jesus was before he even was born, that he was the who? My Lord would come to me. Listen what she says. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Don't tell me that conception is not a baby. Don't tell me that's not a baby. Don't tell me that we should be killing millions of children in the womb. And Lord has a forgiveness for those. Lord has a, let me say this, because somebody, maybe some have experienced that in the family, or somebody experienced that, but Lord has a forgiveness even for that. So don't think that the Lord don't forgive. He forgives that too, but for us to just keep on doing it, we're going to have to stand before a judge, and that judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the babe leaped in her womb, showing that he has the Spirit of God already working in him. And blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now she believed. It's right here. It shows you that Mary believed. When it said that Mary pondered in her heart, when it said that Mary pondered, it's she's meditate. She wasn't doubting. She was believing in the thing. She just didn't understand. She was probably like the one man in the gospel saying, Lord, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but help me to understand that which I don't understand. And it says, Elizabeth says of Mary, blessed, look at that, what she said, blessed is she that what? Believes. So Mary believed. And I'm going to show you something here, because the next person we look at is Elizabeth's husband, Zachariah. He is the father of John the Baptist. And you can recall, if you go through the verses, first part of Luke, you'll see that an angel by the name of Gabriel came to Zacharias and told Zacharias that he was going to have a son. And that son, he was to name that son John. And it says that Zacharias was kind of astonished of what the angel was saying. And it says that Zacharias, in a way, didn't believe. He said, he marveled over this thing and said, how can this be? In other words, this can't be done, can it? Because you got to remember that Elizabeth and Zachariah were past the childbearing. Elizabeth was past the childbearing age. They were old. In other words, they were seniors, okay? Like some of us, okay? And they were past the childbearing age, but God worked the miracle and told Zachariah that Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And of course, Zachariah didn't quite believe that. How do we know he didn't believe? Because if you read the scripture, it said that the angel, that he was struck with mute. He couldn't talk. He couldn't talk and would not talk until the baby was born. He didn't believe it right away, but an indication that Mary believed it right away by what Elizabeth said. But listen to Zacharias as he was also, listen to his reaction that of the birth of Christ. Listen to his reaction beginning in verse 67, I believe. Look at verse 67 with me. And this is the father of John the Baptist. And you all know who John the Baptist was. You know the prophecies on him, right? The prophecies of John the Baptist was in actually Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 4. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, talk about one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for that salvation that would come. And who is that salvation? Jesus Christ. So Zacharias, let's see what his reaction is. Let's see what the spirit of Christmas in him was. And his father, talking about John the Baptist, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Each time you're seeing those who are in contact with the birth of Christ, they are acknowledging the word of God. Are they not? They're acknowledging the word of God. They acknowledge the word of God. How are they acknowledging the word of God? That God had promised to send a redeemer, a Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. Jesus Christ, Christ means anointed one. Christ was not Jesus' last name. It was his title, his messianic title. He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the promised one. You see what we have here? Jesus Christ, Messiah, the promise of Christmas. All right? So Zacharias, the son of John the Baptist, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he blesses the Lord. Blessed be the Lord and God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Jesus was a descendant of King David, and he was the true king to come. What has been the reaction so far of the people we've looked at? Worship! It's been worship. It's giving God the glory that he only deserved. It's not giving presents. Don't get me wrong. I took some presents myself this year. Don't get me wrong now. I didn't give them back. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that's not the full story. That's not the full spirit that we should have in giving and getting, right? The spirit of Christmas should be, our reaction should be, thank you, Lord, for you have saved my soul through Jesus Christ, my Savior. Wow. Praise the Lord. Every time somebody say hallelujah, now I say praise the Lord, because that's what that means. Praise ye the Lord. Okay? We're going to look at the angels and the shepherds for a moment here, too. Let's see how they reacted. Look at the angel in a second. And then we go to chapter 2. Beginning at verse 8. Listen to this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, chapter 2 of Luke, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the Lord, and lo, the angels of the Lord came upon, angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You better believe it. Because every time you see angels, angel is reflecting, reflects God's light. They're always light. They light because they're reflecting the glory of God's light. And it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There you go. Now you understand that his last name is not Christ. It's Christ the Lord. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah that has come to save us from our sins. We were in a hopeless case. You know that, right? We were hopeless. Everybody don't understand depravity. We were hopeless. In other words, depravity is more than just I made a mistake. Depravity is hopelessness. I can't do nothing but make mistakes. It's even if I wanted to do good, I can't do good. Because without a changed heart, there is no goodness that will come about. Did you not understand when Isaiah talks about the fact that all the goodness is as filthy rags when he talks about that in around Isaiah 64, I believe. It's Isaiah 64. He talks about all our goodness is as filthy rags. How can all our goodness be filthy rags? You say to yourself, you mean every time I do some good, you mean it's not no good? I'm not telling you. I'm telling you what the word of God says. 64:6. All our goodness is as filthy rags. Why is it as filthy rags? Because apart from glorifying God, there is no goodness. And when we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have not had a changed heart, when we are doing goodness that only brings glory to ourselves, then we are not doing goodness, actually, because the goodness, true goodness, brings glory to God. You get the picture there? So we are seeing that the angels are saying that I'm bringing you some glad tidings here. Because in the city of David, Bethlehem, the city of bread, that's what I think Bethlehem means, the city of bread. In the city of Bethlehem is born a Savior, and this Savior is Christ the Lord. I think that's worship. Even the angels, they worship God. When you read Isaiah chapter 6, when King Uzziah had died, and Isaiah saw the Lord high lifted up, Isaiah chapter 6, and he is allowed to enter the throne room, I believe, of God, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. See, when the earthly king died, Uzziah, and some believe that maybe he could have been a relative, or maybe he was close to Uzziah, because when he went to the temple, but when the earthly king died, then he saw the true king, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know he saw the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that tells us in John chapter 12. When Isaiah says this, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. That's John 12. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnated Christ, okay? So what we see here now is that the angels are worshiping. They're praising God. Everybody we've seen so far is what? They're praising God. They're praising God. I don't know about you all, but sometimes I come short of that. And I'm just saying, thank you, Mamie. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Trey. Thank you, Kelly. And I should be saying, first of all, thank you, Lord, for Kelly, Dwayne, Trey. You know? You see what I'm saying? We got to put our priorities in order. We got to put our priorities in order, even this time of the year, and let people know that we are worshiping the true and living God who have saved us from our sins. Hey, how about the shepherds? Look at the shepherds. Look at the shepherds in verse 15. Look at the shepherds in verse 15. You know, did they go back and say, you know, we saw some angels in the field and they told us something? No, listen to what they did. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them, speaking of the shepherds, into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed. Number one, they believed. You know, they didn't ponder over. They didn't go over this thing. So, you know, we saw some angels and maybe we should go to Bethlehem or maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Is it real or is it true? It seemed like the heart of the shepherds were opened by the Lord, and immediately they said, we're going to go see this thing that the Lord has done. And in verse 16 it says, and they came and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Meditation. She meditated. She wasn't disbelieving. She was meditating over those things that she believed and wanted to get a full, good understanding of it. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and doing what? Praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And you might believe that the shepherds, everyone surrounded by the manger scene, they knew somewhat of the Old Testament scripture. They didn't have New Testament scripture. I don't know if y'all probably like me. Sometimes you think that a lot of people in the first century had Bibles, had the New King James or the King James version of the Bible. They had the Old Testament, and they would have known the promises that God had made in the Old Testament. And they went out praising God. How about Simeon and Anna? Simeon and Anna in that same chapter. First, we see Simeon in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should what? Not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. He would not see death until he seen the salvation of the Lord. Remember Moses at one point, and I'm taking y'all back, see if y'all remember us studying through Exodus, right? Have we studied through Exodus? Remember at one point at the Red Sea? Remember one point at the Red Sea? And they see Pharaoh's army coming behind them, the Red Sea there. Where are we going to go, Moses? Moses lift up that staff and said, behold, the salvation of our Lord, of the Lord. Wow! That was the salvation of the Lord. He saved them through the Red Sea and drowned the enemies, okay? So Simeon, he's coming to approach the Mary brings in the Christ child. Everybody there with me still with Simeon at verse 27? And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. The custom of the law was after the eighth day, the male child would be circumcised. After 8 days. That's found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. After the 8 days, particularly Leviticus, okay? And after the 8 days, would be circumcised. When he brought the child, when brought Jesus in, and you know this is the working of the Spirit of God through the Word of God, listen to Simeon. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen what thy salvation. Who did he just picked up? Who he just picked up and put in his arm? He said, my eyes have seen thy salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the promised Messiah, the promise of Christmas. Did we do this year? Did we recognize the promised Messiah, the promise of salvation in Christ Jesus? Or did we just celebrate like everybody else celebrating? Then now we just say, I shouldn't have spent all that money. I hope we realize that what we have here is salvation that we should be praising and worshiping. Amen. 365 days of the year. We should not let this in. Don't let this in, okay? Anna. Look at Anna down in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. Everyone was looking for the redemption and praising God and worshiping him for the redemption that he would bring to the world. Can't forget the wise men, can we? Matthew chapter 2. Can't forget the wise men. The wise men, they were called they were known as the kingmakers. They would come from afar and they would come and they would acknowledge that a king was being born. They came in chapter 2 of Matthew and they said, "We're looking for the king of the Jews." You see chapter 2? It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Ah, that's the key. The true spirit of Christmas is worship. The true reaction that should be come at the time of this time of the year is worship. We should be worshiping God for what he has done for us. What has he done for us? He has saved us from a sinner's hell. Because each one of us, everyone who's born into this world, for there is none righteous, it tells us in Romans chapter 3, right? Verse 21, there no one is righteous. There's nobody righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I should say, the scripture tells us. So that means there's none righteous. It says in Romans 6:33 that the wages of sin is death. Now, how many sins cause death? One sin against God caused death. In other words, in order to be saved by the law, how many of the law you have to keep? You have to keep it all. So if I have broken one of the laws, we are all under the death penalty of God because we have broken his law. We were all, before we come to Christ, we were all lawless. Lawless people. You know what lawlessness means? When you see it in 1 John chapter 4, when he talks about sin is lawlessness, is as living if there is no God. Boy, are we in a world like that today? Living as if there is no God. So that's something that the Spirit of God should convict each one of us when we fall into some kind of sin or some kind of sin, whether it be thought or deed. We pray it, don't we? That is living as if there is no God. And we know very well there is a God because we have seen. We have seen him. How have we seen him? He has revealed himself to us by way of his Spirit, as we have said, believe the word of God, that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We have believed, for in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life." So the wise men came worshiping, but we must end up with one person who was the closest to Jesus, right? And that's his mother Mary. Mary didn't want to be worshipped. Some say that we ought to worship Mary. Some say that that Mary is to be high and lifted up. You know, we sang this song about Jesus high and lifted up, and he's the only one to be high and lifted up. But there are some who say we ought to lift up Mary high and lifted. Well, let's see if Mary feel that way. Let's see what her reaction. You understand the reaction of Elizabeth and Zachariah, the angels and the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, and the wise men. You understand and see clearly that they praise and worship God for the birth of this child because they knew that this child was coming to save us from our sins. This child was for the redemption, of the world. Not only Israel, but for the redemption of the world, for all of mankind who would believe. The emphasis is believe, okay? It's not this universal thing that's being taught sometime where Jesus died for the whole world, so one day everybody's going to be in anyway. I had somebody tell me that one time. So just live and do whatever you want to do, right? Because you're going to be saved eventually, right? No, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thou shalt be saved. Look at Mary. Look at Mary, and we're closing with this, with Mary. Let's see her reaction in verse 46. Remember, as she met in verse 46 of chapter 1, verse 46 of chapter 1 of Luke. And you know the reaction of when the babe jumped in the room. Remember, Elizabeth was her older cousin. That's why I wanted to make it. I make that point that when John the Baptist says that Jesus was preferred before him. Remember last week we saw in John 1? He said that there's one coming that is preferred before me because he came before me. Wait a minute, John. You're the oldest cousin. How is he preferred before you? Because he is the one who was in the beginning. Amen. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one. And John acknowledged that. Listen to Mary. As Mary meets with Elizabeth, Mary says, "My soul," and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Come on! Mary is not to be worshipped. She's understanding that the child that she's bearing is the one to is the Savior. Listen to this. "For he has regarded the Lord's state of his handmaid, for he has from henceforth all generation shall call me blessed." Mary was saying, "I'm so blessed of God. It must be something in me that he must have saw in me and just picked me. I'm the girl. Hey sis, I'm the girl." No, she wasn't saying that the Lord, she was humbling herself under the mighty hand of God, understanding why would God use someone like me? She was humble. She wasn't puffing herself up saying, I'm blessed. You know, it must be something seen in me. He sees something in me that he made me. No, she wasn't saying that. We say that kind of stuff. She was saying that the Lord would see fit to take a lowly person like her. That's how we should be when we think about salvation, shouldn't we? We should be just like that. Why in the world? I heard that prayed today too. Why in the world would the Lord take a lowly wretch like me and even entrust me to preach his word? I don't understand that. But he changes us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "For any man be in Christ," what happened? "Old things have passed away and new things have become new." There's a new creation. I like that song too, that we sing. That's right out the scripture. We are new creations. Mary says, "For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the indignation of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seeds forever." And Mary abode with her for about 3 months there and returned to her own home. I would say that Mary was worshiping God. How did she worship God? Let's end with this. How did she worship God? And I got a little help with this message, this part of the message here. How did she worship God? "First of all, my soul does magnify the Lord." It was internal. It comes from within. It's not that she received something. You got to realize that they were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. Mary and Joseph seemed to be in a poor estate, because when they went to take Jesus to the temple, it said they offered up a pigeon or turtle doves. If you read Leviticus, pigeons and turtle doves were the sacrifices that were given by those who couldn't afford the sheep and the goats, which were more expensive. They seemed to be in a lower state, right? So she was worshiping from inward, not for what she had got. We worship God for what we get. Or what if something go good for us, then we come praise the Lord. But if something don't happen right way for that we think should happen, don't hear a word from us. You know, we ease on in. No, it's just come from eternal, and it should be intense. For she says, "My soul, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." Megalune, it makes big the Lord. It was loud. She spoke out with a loud praise. She's a pregnant young girl. Come on, be with me. Come with me. She's a pregnant young girl who could be stoned to death. because of what the law says. And yes, she said, my soul does magnify the Lord. That had to come from within, and she had to be intense, and she humbles herself under the mighty hand of God, and she is giving God the praises. She's giving God the praises. With that, we've just seen the reaction of all those who are around the birth of Christ. They worship. They worship. They gave God the praise and the glory. We need to give God the praise and the glory that others would know that we are worshiping the true and living God, and that they're the only way that people, that see, you know, the scripture tells us, we've said, or we quote it sometime, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We must help people understand each time this year and through the year that the glory belongs to God and Him alone because of what He has done in Christ Jesus. One of my things I've been saying to people as I was in stores and all, and they were saying, Merry Christmas to you. I said, and Merry Christmas to you too. For in that manger, I said this to a couple people, I said, when God was born in a manger. Some people kind of were shocked when I said that. And you get opportunity to talk with people because it was the truth. In that manger was not just an ordinary baby. It was Christ Jesus, the Lord, who was sent to save us from our sins. He was in the beginning. You may stand on your feet for a minute. He was in the beginning, wasn't he? Everything was made by him. Didn't you go over those scriptures with me last week? Everything was made by him. He was the life and he was the light. He was the life and he was the light of the world. The life and the light. That life means he was the true life. That light off up every man that comes and woman that comes into this world. Every human being that's born, he was the one who gave them life. He said, well, my parents gave me life. Well, guess what? They birthed you, but they didn't give you life. The only person who gives you breath and life is God. And the scripture says in John chapter 1, Jesus was that one who gave life. And it says of him that the light came into the world and the world received him not. They rejected him. But they had every opportunity and still have opportunity to receive that light. And that's why we got to sow that seed out there. Sow the word of God. Tell people that Jesus is the light. The life and the light. Come unto Jesus and be saved today. Is there someone who needs Jesus today to come unto Jesus and be saved today? The invitation is this. If thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 says, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. Let him prove himself. I give that scripture each Sunday. And I see some people, I see some people be quoting it, be saying it in their own, the lips be moving. I said, praise God. You're just reassuring yourself by the Spirit of God that that word is true to you. But if you have just received the Lord Jesus Christ today, today is the day of salvation. Give your life to Jesus today. For tomorrow or the next moment is not promised. And that's the invitation. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. And we welcome you to join here with the Community Baptist Church of Walbrook. Are you here today needing a church home, needing a church fellowship? But most important, are you here today needing a Savior? He's at the door of your heart knocking. I will use Revelation for a moment there. He's at the door of your heart knocking. Let him in. Let him in today. For he wants to be your Savior today. That's what the song says. He wants to be your Savior today. The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here today? You come forward. Give your life to Jesus. And we welcome you to join here with the fellowship of the Community Baptist Church of Walbrook. Are you here today? Is there anyone here today? The invitation has been given. The invitation has been given. I'm not going to sing 99 verses of Just As I Am till somebody come. I'm just going to go ahead. I always have to throw that in there because sometimes we preachers, we take this thing out of hand. We'll stay up here and just keep pounding and pounding. But see, we don't have to pound because the word of God is true. When the word of God forth, it accomplished just what it set out to accomplish. So we are getting ready for our communion if there's no one to come today. We're going to get ready to join in with our communion today. this is the last communion for the year for us. And I praise God for all of you who have come out to joining with us. Okay? Amen. We're going to ask that I think Reverend Zimmerman is going to read the scriptures for us today. But even after we finish the communion, if the Lord moves on your heart to receive of him, let it be known by someone that we can rejoice with you. Okay? Amen. You may be seated for a minute while the scriptures... Oh, you want to stand right now? Yeah, y'all can remain. Those can remain standing. We have the scriptures from the about the communion. But as we're preparing for to hear the scripture, we're going to ask the deacons if they will pull the table out for the deaconess to uncover the table. Remembering, I'm saying, and I'm remembering, communion is just not something of a ritual. Communion is a reality. You ever realize that, right? Communion is a reality, a symbol of a reality. Communion is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. For the wafer or the bread represent his body that was broken for us. The cup represent his blood that was shed for us. And as Reverend Zimmerman reads the scriptures to us, just pay close attention to what that scripture says. For we are celebrating the salvation of our Lord until he comes back.
Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 581 in the back of your hymnals. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, begin at verse 23, 581 in the back of the hymnals. Everybody ready? Okay. For I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. The word of the Lord is blessed.
Amen. Yeah.
Do I need a mic there? Do you think?
Here you are. Here.
Thank you. As we prepare once again to join in communion together with one another and remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do this in remembrance of him, we want to remember that this is, as I said before, this is not just a ritual. This is a reality, symbol of a reality that Christ has done for us. And it tells us, you said, you heard the scripture, we need to examine ourselves. What does it mean by examine ourselves? We need to just go to the Lord before we take this communion and say, "Lord, you know, we thank you for your forgiveness of our sins. And if there's anything that's in us that's not pleasing to you, we repent of that thing.
And we come unto you, for we want to take this worthy of your salvation. For we know that we're not worthy, but he is the one who's worthy, so we come to him. As we prepare for this communion today, we're going to ask that one of our deacons, newer deacons, I'll put it this way, would give us the prayer. And I'm going to ask that Deacon Ron Phillip would give us the prayer for today.
May we bow our heads. Once again, dear Lord, we come together to give praise to your holy and great name. Thank you for all that you continue to do in our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to come together as one body in Christ, giving you praise and honor. And as we partake of this wafer as your body and the wine as your blood, may we remember how you died and bled on the cross.
Yes.
We thank you, dear Lord, for not getting up, but staying on that cross and dying for our sins. We thank you, dear Lord, for that faithful Sunday where you rose and with all power in your hands.
Yes, yes.
And now you sit beside the Father interceding for our sins. What a marvelous thing to do for one. So Lord, again, we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you and magnify your name. These and all things we pray in the name of your Son and Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we do pray. Amen.
As we join in communion together, I will thank the Lord for the prayer. You listen to one part of that prayer when it says that truly he got up on that faithful first day of the week, that Sunday, got up, didn't stay in the grave, signifying that he was approved Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Prepare to take communion together. I already saw people shaking their hands.
get it together, and you take the thin film of the, we can expose the wafer or the bread representing the body of our Lord. Let us take it and eat together in remembrance of our Lord. His body was not broken for us, for there was not a broken bone in his body. It wasn't broken, but his body was given for us, because the perfect Lamb of God was without blemish. Then we take the cup, the wine or the juice that represents his blood that was shed for us on Calvary's cross. For that without the shedding of blood, the scripture said, there is no remission of sin. Thank God for the perfect Lamb of God, and we drink together.
As everyone who's able to stand on their feet as we prepare for our dismissal, and I cannot let us be dismissal before I recognize Brother William Dow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was so glad when I saw you came in. So glad when I saw you came in, because the Lord is working a miracle in your life, and I praise God for you. I just praise God for you. And the testimony that you're bringing forth, I'm telling you, it's a testimony unto us. And we thank the Lord for you, okay? I just could not let us be dismissed without recognizing the glory of God in Brother Dow. Amen. As we be dismissed on fourth Sunday, we're not dismissed with our regular benediction, but we asked the musician, they will play a hymn of dismissal. So when you hear the hymn played, you're dismissed. So greet each other in the love of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.